I do want to share with you today a message that I feel like is going to be pertinent to every one of us. It's going to be about the cities of refuge. I'm going to be taking this out of the Old Testament and bringing it to the New Testament. You know, the Old Testament is the New Testament contained or concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament explained or revealed. So you have to have both of them. Some people say, well, I don't understand the Old Testament. You need to study and read the Old Testament and then find out how it ties in to the New Testament. So we're going to be dealing today with the cities of refuge. I think it's going to be interesting for every one of us. But I wanted to start today in Psalms 46, 1. Just one verse, and then we're going to get into our text. This is the verse I want you to memorize. Now, I've got it in the NLT. It's in front of you. Let's all say it together. God is our refuge and strength. Let's stop right there. Say it again. God is our refuge and strength. Say it one more time. See how easy that was? Listen to what you're saying. God is our refuge and strength. Refuge is a place of safety. It's a place where you can go when you can go nowhere else. Refuge, if you get the R-E on refuge, the re, it doesn't mean do it again, but it means to run back to. It's a place of safety. Say, God is our refuge and strength. I want you to memorize that verse. I really do. You may not have other verses in memory. This is one you need in memory. God is our refuge and our strength. The next part of it says it this way. It says, always ready. Say always ready. When is he ready? Is he ready right now? He's with you right now. He is your refuge. He is your strength. No matter what you dealt with this week, no matter what sin, what problem, what fear, what obstruction, what issue, whether it's financial or family, it doesn't matter. He is your refuge today. He is your strength today. And he's always ready. He's ready right now. And you will say, but I didn't go to him last week when I should have. He's ready right now. What I want you to get in your brain, so it can get down into your spirit, that God is our refuge. You never want the devil to tell you you can't run to him, because that's what he will tell you. He'll tell you how stupid you are, how you did the wrong thing, how you should have known better, and you can't go to God because look what you've done. And God is telling you 15 times in the Psalms alone, he says, I'm your refuge and I'm your strength. I am your refuge and I'm your strength. He's trying to let us know something that's going to help us. It's going to save us. It's going to keep our families together, keep our health, keep our lives. Say, God is our refuge and strength. Always ready to help in times of trouble. So I'm going to ask you, this is not the text. This is your memory verse for today. I want you to get a hold of that, and I want you to write it down somewhere where you can read it again. If you've got it where you can put it up, memorize it. It's not that hard to do. So we're going to be looking at this Old Testament and bring it into the New Testament. We're going to be dealing with the cities of refuge. Now, one of the things about a city of refuge, just an idea, because the Bible says in Psalms, like we just read, God is our refuge. And then if it says it there, and it says it in the Old Testament, and then it says it again in the New Testament, we ought to get a hold of God as our refuge, right? So I'm going to say one more thing before we preach, but the idea is this. If what I'm saying today only works in here, then it ain't working. If our gospel is only good in church, it's not much of a gospel. So the other day we're at the gym, and I was coaching a class, getting ready to coach a class, and there's some gals sitting around, and one of them was there, and I won't call her name, but she just had this look, just sad on her face. And so there were several people around, and I just said, what is wrong? And she said, I've been having a terrible week this week, just a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, and I just can't get my mind into what we're doing today. It's just so hard on me. And you know what the Lord gave me? He gave me Psalms 46, 1. And I said, you know, I'm going to be preaching this weekend, and I'm going to be telling everybody that God is our refuge and our strength. And he's always ready to help us in trouble. So I'm telling you right now that he is your refuge and your strength, and he's ready right now to help you in this trouble. So tears welled up in her eyes, and you know they did in mine. But here's what I figured. I figured if it's going to work here, it's got to work there. And we need to be willing to share the Word of God with people that are hurting, that have a bad day, a bad week. I'm going to say this to you, and I'm not against counselors and counseling. I get all of that. But I'm going to say this. If you can't bring them back to the Word of God, counseling's not going to bail them out. Excuse me just a minute. They can tell you all kinds of good stuff, but you need something that's going to be a reality in life, and that's the Word of God. So I believe if I'm getting counseling, I want to get some good counseling, but I want to tie that into the Word of God. I want to base that life on the Word of God. So let's look at this in Joshua chapter 20, Old Testament, Joshua 20 verses 1 through 6. If you've got pen and paper, old school, you can write this down. Or if you don't, I don't know how quick you can type anyway. Some of you are a little bit challenged on that. Joshua 20 verses 1 through 6. This is one of the Old Testament renderings. There's only 9 verses in this whole chapter of Joshua. And I was just thinking, someone said, this could be, I told them about the message. They asked about it yesterday and I was talking about it. And they said, this could be Easter every day. And I thought, yeah, it could be. So we could add that into the series. Here's what the Bible says. Then the Lord said to Joshua. Now they're coming into the promised land, right? They're taking over the promised land, both the east side and the west side of the promised land. He said this, say to the people, appoint cities of refuge. Watch what he says. Appoint cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses. And we'll look at that in a little bit in Numbers 35 and also in Deuteronomy 19. Moses gets a word from God that when they get into the promised land, they've got to have cities of refuge. That the manslayer, you might want to mark or underline that, who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. In other words, he's not a murderer, but he did commit involuntary manslaughter. He accidentally killed someone. They shall be for you. So you're going to, they shall be for you. These cities shall be for you a refuge from the avenger of blood. The avenger of blood was a person from the family of the dude that got killed by accident. There's going to be a kinsman in the family that's a close kin to him that's going to be responsible to go get the manslayer. Let's just say that you were the manslayer. You killed someone by accident. And when you did, a person in their family back in these days could hunt you down and take you out. Why? Because the Bible says eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life, right? So they would have the right to do that. But God didn't have a criminal system like we do today, but he had a lot of grace. Now, people say in the Old Testament he didn't have a lot of grace. He shows grace right here because he said, if there is a manslayer that slayed someone by accident, then he has a place that he can flee from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and explain his case to the elders of the city. And they shall take him into the city and give him a place, and he shall remain with them. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, that's that family member, they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unknowingly and did not hate him in the past. In other words, he wasn't out to hurt the guy. He wasn't mad at him. Total accident. And he shall remain in the city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment. In other words, there's going to be a trial. We're going to find out about this guy. Until the death. This is interesting. Until the death of him who is the high priest at the time. This guy's going to get in the city. They find him innocent, but he can't go home. He's got to stay there until the death of the high priest. Then the manslayer may return to his own town and his own home and to the town from which he fled. So we've got an issue here. One of them is we've got cities of refuge. These cities of refuge are laid out in Numbers 35 and in Exodus 19 where God's speaking to Moses. And he said, when y'all get there, you got to have cities of refuge. Now, we're going to deal with these in just a minute and let you kind of know what it all is about. But it has to do with how do we get someone that has done something. How can we get them a place of grace or safety if there was an accident? And that's the problem we're dealing with. So you've got a city of refuge to flee to. So what is the purpose? Let's just look at the purpose very quickly. They were Levitical cities. They were Levitical cities. How many of y'all remember that Levi was not going to get a land inheritance in Israel? He wasn't going to get that. We have the Levites. They are the ones that studied the Word of God. They were the ones that the priests came from. So you have this tribe of Levi. When they get to the promised land, they don't get a land promise. All the other 12 tribes, they get a land promise except Levi. But what God said is, for the Levites, you will give them 48 cities. You will give them 48 cities out of your land, four from each one of the tribes. And six of those are going to be cities of refuge. Now, these cities are all run by the Levites. The city had a wall around the city. Their 48 cities had a wall around it. And then they gave them or graced them land outside. In other words, there was a perimeter, about a half mile perimeter all around their city that they could use for farmland or they could use for pasture land for their sheep. So they had a city. They had it walled in. They had it gated up. And then they had land around it. 48 of them were for the Levites. Now, six of these were cities of refuge. They put three of them on the west side of the Jordan River. So Israel runs this way. The Jordan River runs down the middle. They put three on this side and three on this side of the river. The idea was that they were a walled city. They were a place where men could run if they've killed someone. Now, another thing that the Bible says in Numbers 35 and Deuteronomy 19 is that we're to protect the person if it were an accident. And that's where we start having an issue, is it had to be by accident. So, for an example, if Chris Schmoll and I are going out in the woods and we're going to chop wood, and he comes back and says, wow, the axe head came off accidentally and hit Mike and killed him. Don't believe him. He would lie about that. But if you were in these days and you were out chopping wood, that's one of the examples. Another one was if you were gathering stones from up on a mountain and you dropped one and it came down and hit someone and killed them, it would have been an accident. As long as it's an accidental death, then this was a place where you could run from the avenger of blood. So how does that look like Jesus? One of the things that it looks like Jesus is, in Hebrews 6:18, it says this, so that by two unchangeable things, his promise, God's promise to you, and the oath, he said, I swear to my promise, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to him for refuge. We all, when we became born again, we had run to him for refuge, would have strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope that's set before us. In other words, Jesus is called our city of refuge. We run to him whenever we need forgiveness and we need help. He offers protection and salvation to all that call on his name as a refuge. Now, you have an avenger that's after you. How many of y'all know that? John 10:10 says that there's one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's tracking you every day. Thank God we have a city of refuge. When you come under pressure, when there's a situation in your life, and again, it could be a sin issue, but it may not be. It could be family, could be finances. We still have a city of refuge when we're being pursued by that avenger of blood, the one that's wanting to hurt us. Now, another thing about the city, it was accessible. So we have, why it's there is for those that have committed a crime and it was by accident. They didn't do it on purpose. So there's a purpose for a place of safety. It's accessible. There were six cities, three on each side. Now, if you read the book of Numbers 35 and then Deuteronomy 19, you'll get some of this information, but also you can read the Talmud has it. I think the Mishnah, which is another Hebrew rabbinical history, and then also the Midrash, and also you can study maybe Flavius Josephus. You can look at some of these areas of history, and they will not give you the Bible, but they'll give you the history that was there that may not have been in the Bible, but you can use it for history. So we know there are three cities. Here's some of the history. They were no more than one day's journey from anybody in Israel. In other words, if you're in Israel, there's a city of refuge within a day's journey of you being able to get there to it. So it was accessible. Also, the roads were well marked. They had signs on them. Anywhere there was an intersection, they had a sign that said Miklat. And Miklat meant refuge. And it had an arrow pointing, this is how you're going to get to the city of refuge. So they had them close together to the people, that is. And then also they had every road marked. And then there were runners or helpers that were set up along the road to help you. In other words, if you were fleeing from a person that was after you, and you couldn't make it, there were people set up They had huts or houses that you could get them to help you make the trip if you couldn't make it on your own. You needed someone to just get you there. They would be able to help you. Also, the roads, unlike Jefferson County and St. Clair, the roads were well maintained. Just saying. I talked to someone the other day and they said, for me to go to work, it's about a 10-minute drive. It takes me an hour each way because of construction. Anybody else have construction issues around you? Yeah? Yeah. Nobody wants to say it. So anyway, what they had is well-maintained roads. They were wider than the regular roads. In other words, a regular road may be 25 feet wide. They were times and a half bigger than that. So they added another 12 or 15 feet to the width of the road. They were extra wide. They were clean. They had, if there was a creek or any kind of depression, they either filled it up or they put a bridge over it. There were no potholes and no rocks on the road. In other words, they had people, those runners or helpers. What they did is they managed those roads. So you've got a city of refuge. You've got it within a day's journey from your house, and it's very easy to get to it. How does that compare to Jesus? In John 1:14, the Bible said he was the Word that became flesh, and he dwelt where? Among us. He was accessible to us, and he is accessible to us. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me because I'm close to you, he said. In Romans 10:8-13, he says, but what does it say? The Word is where? Near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. I'm saying, y'all, the city of refuge isn't far from you. If you've got an issue today, it's in your mouth. The Word is in your mouth. You can say, Father, forgive me right now. It's in your mouth. You can say, Lord, help me right now. It's in your mouth. No matter what the issue is, the Word is close. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. The Bible says that is the Word, the message, the basis of faith which we preach. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. It's not hard, y'all, to understand where the refuge is. It is very close. It's accessible. Number three, I want to give you a thought, and that is it is inclusive. And I love this one. It's the one that some of us old people have a problem with, and that is including everyone. We like to, I'm going to just have to say it, we like to judge people, maybe the way they look, what they wear, what they do, how they talk. I mean, you're going to, I know y'all don't do that, so I'll take the blame for it. We just kind of look at people and just wonder about, you know, their life and whatever. I'm saying this, I love the idea that God was very inclusive. He doesn't turn anyone away. He doesn't reject you. He's very inclusive. In Joshua 20, verse 9, we'll look at that one. We do have that one on the board for you. This is the last verse. There are 9 verses. This is number 9. We didn't give 7 and 8. That lists the cities. I'll give them to you in just a moment. But this is verse 9. These were the cities designated for, here's your good word, for all. These were the cities designated for all the people of Israel and the stranger. One translation says, and the Gentile and the sojourner. But it says here, the people of Israel and for the stranger sojourning among them. That anyone, it's all, it's the people of Israel, it's everyone else, it's anyone who killed a person without intent could flee here so that they might not die at the hand of the avenger of blood till he stood before the congregation. So when this person kills someone by accident and that person's brother's coming after them with an axe to kill them, they take off for the city of refuge. As soon as they get in the borders, that person chasing them has got to stop. They run to the gate. The gate is open 24/7, unlike other cities. The leadership is always available. So if someone comes in, no matter day or night, whatever time, they can get to the city officials. When they tell them what's going on, they will stop right then and start a research on what happened. They'll send people back to his town. They will check all the people that could be witnesses, and they will come back with either he's guilty or he's innocent. They make a decision, but he's safe there from the avenger of blood. I like the idea that it was for Jew, for Gentile, for anyone that had an issue, they could come in. I liked it that it's 24/7. You can get there anytime. I like it that it's accessible. It's not far away. And this is the way Jesus is. In Romans 10:12-13, it says this, for there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. I love that. He is very inclusive. There are people you wouldn't include that he will include. There are people that we would rub off the list that he's saying, I want them right now. And I'm going to tell you another one I like. I like it when people say things like, well, you know, they just had a deathbed confession. And I'm thinking, dude, every one of us had a deathbed confession. It doesn't matter how long you've been living for Jesus, y'all. You're no more saved than the person that's laying on their deathbed that breathes their last breath and say, Jesus, forgive me. They're just as saved as those of us that have been living for God for years. I think that troubles some people because you want to be better than them. But I love the fact that all of us had a deathbed confession. We all got in the same way through confessing with our mouth and believing. So Jesus for us includes everyone. No distinction between Jew or Greek. Same Lord over all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. I love that. Acts 2:21 says it this way. Everyone, whosoever that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We all get the same thing the same way. The other thing about the city of refuge, it was a place of redemption. Now, redemption's a hard thing because the only way you can redeem someone that's been killed is by another life. It's always a life for life. That doesn't change. When you go to the city of refuge and they accept you in, the Levites, so you're in a Levitical city. They get you a job. You learn a craft. You stay there. Listen to me. You can't go back home. You have to stay there. It's kind of like jail. You can't have your family come to you. Now, the good part about it is you get a craft, you get to work, you get to eat, you get a house, you're taken care of, but you're going to stay there until the high priest dies. Now, the reason that is, you're accepted in to the city of refuge by the Levites who represent the high priest. The high priest represents God for them. Are y'all tracking me? If the high priest, and when he dies, everyone that was accepted for manslaughter into those cities were then free. How could that be? Because the high priest took the responsibility of allowing you in. And when he dies, it's like you dying. He dies for you. In other words, he gives his life for the person you killed by accident that you don't have to die, and now you go free. I don't know if that sounds like Jesus to you, but I like the idea that he's my high priest, and I couldn't save myself, and my sin had me in a place that I couldn't get out. But thankfully, he died for me and gave me my redemption. Redemption always is going to cost blood. You'll never buy yourself out. The cities of refuge provided a legal asylum for the death until the death of the high priest. Then the manslayer, verse 6 says, could return home without fear of retribution. His sin was atoned for by the death of the high priest. How's that like Jesus? There was no ransom that could be paid for someone to die for the guilt of shedding blood. Only one way that we could be saved was going to be by the death of Jesus. Hebrews 11, 9 through 12 says it this way. So Christ has now become our high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered in the greater and perfect tabernacle in heaven, which is not made by human hands or part of the created world, with his own blood. Not the blood of goats and calves. That's what the priest on earth did. Not the goats of the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once and for all, secured our redemption forever. So my forgiveness today, I'm thankful for the cities of refuge, and Jesus is a type of that. We can run to him, but there comes a difference in that. The city of refuge could not free me, but the death of the high priest could. That's where Jesus comes in. We're freed, not because we're just in church, but because he died for us. And that gives us our redemption. A refuge is not a license to ignore sin, but it's a guarantee that God's mercy will intervene before condemnation becomes our end. Let me repeat that again and listen to it. a refuge. If you're running to a refuge right now, whether it's over a problem at home or finances or could be a sin issue, it's not a license to ignore sin, but it's a guarantee that God's mercy intervenes before condemnation becomes our end. How many of you know we get condemned pretty easily? You get condemned over being a lousy mom or a lousy dad or a lousy son or a lousy daughter. You get condemned over not doing your work well enough. You get condemned over, the devil will tell you all kinds of stuff about you. He will tell you every lie he can come up with about how sorry you are, how bad you are, how insufficient you are. This is why we need to understand that God's mercy intervenes before condemnation overtakes us. And I'm believing that, and in this service today, that some of you are being condemned by the enemy, but I'm saying over you right now that God is intervening for you right now with mercy that's going to set you free from condemnation this morning before you leave this room. Now, there were a list of the city names. Those are in verses 7 and 8. Very quickly, we'll look at those. I guess quickly. It's 10 minutes to 10. So, thank you. I was just waiting for that. The six cities are important. They had their names. On the east side, there was Kadesh. It means holiness or set apart. Listen to the names of these cities. It's amazing how they represent Christ and our relationship with Him. Kadesh was holiness or set apart. You've been set apart. You've been made holy by Christ. Shechem was the other one. It means shoulder or support. Someone you can lean on. Hebron was the third one on the east side. It was fellowship or communion. You have somebody to be with. Bezer is stronghold. You've got a place of strength. Ramoth means sovereign or exalted. You're with the only God that can get you out of your situation. And Golan, where the Golan Heights are. Golan means separated or free. Isn't that a great thought? These cities had those names that represent Christ for us. The difference in the city of refuge and Jesus as a city of refuge is in the Old Testament, only the innocent could stay in the city. Yikes. Right? If you innocently kill someone, it was an innocent by accident. Those are the only ones got in. Well, that doesn't help me with Jesus. I'm in trouble then. But I love that Jesus is a refuge. Only I don't have to be without sin. I don't have to be innocent because my Bible says in Luke 5:32 Amplified, I did not come to call the self-proclaimed righteous who see no need to repent, but I came for sinners to repentance, to change their old way of thinking, to turn from sin and to seek God and His righteousness. I love that comparison that He is not looking for the innocent. He's looking for the sinners. But for those of you all that think that you've already got it together, then I'm going to have to say that I love the other part where Jesus is on the cross. And maybe you'll remember this. I read it just the other day and it stuck in my brain. And I thought, I'm going to somehow throw this in here, Lord, because you gave it to me. But He's on the cross and He said this. What, y'all help me with this. He said, Father, forgive them. Wait. Forgive them why? Oh, they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. But what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. He didn't say because they're stupid. He could have said that. If he were Mike, he would have said that. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I don't know about the rest of y'all, but when we come to Christ, there are a lot of times we don't know how bad we were. We don't know what all was wrong in our life. As a matter of fact, we thought we were normal. We thought everything was right. And He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm going to say this to you. There are times when I find out I'm doing something wrong after I read the Word of God and find out that thing was wrong and I've been doing it. I'm just thankful that God said, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. So I believe that also brings us into the place of safety, the city of refuge, like that manslayer that did it by accident. I think sometimes we come to God and we want to repent because we didn't know what all this was. But once we heard it, we were able to say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't know how bad this was. I didn't understand it. So I'm going to give you this, at least to close on today. Number one, let's just stand right now. We may get the praise team to come back up, or John, or whomever. Let's all stand. Now, we will have our prayer team to come down to the front. We've got some folks that will pray with you. But I'm gonna impose on your privilege that you give me while I'm preaching to ask you to do something. And then I want you to pray, and you can still come to the front and pray with those at the front if you want someone to agree with you in prayer. But I'm looking for families today. I'm looking for families today to pray together. I'm going to be looking for y'all to hug one another or hold hands or put your arm around your family that's with you today. Because here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Now, you don't have to confess this out loud to them. This isn't about them in that sense. It is about them that I want us to pray one for another as well. Our prayer team can come on down because we'll give you a chance to come pray with them if you want to in a minute. But I want us to do this. I want you to think for just a moment. Just think about your week. Think about your month. Think about the last 6 months, your last year. Think about whether it is a sin, a failure, a weakness, or whether it's a pressure, a trial, whether it's family or friends. I mean, I talked to someone the other day and they said, my kids are just crazy. I said, I get it. But there are pressures on people. And I mentioned it this morning to Tara. We were just talking for a minute about time and people and families and kids and the pressure that wasn't on me as a parent that's on people today with their children to go and do and to be and the things that are going on. And I'm so proud of y'all, and you're far better parents than me. But I'm just going to say this, that sometimes those are the things as well that we need to come to the Lord with. So I want you to confess. I want you to confess. You don't have to do it out loud to us, but I want you to find this. I want you to confess a specific burden. A burden. The burden's a problem, a pressure, an issue, whatever area it is, or a fear. Now, that burden or fear could both contain sin. That's fine. I'm not saying you're confessing a sin. I'm saying confess a specific burden. Something that you've recently told someone, this is killing me. Or I don't understand this. You know what I'm talking about. The burden that's been on you for weeks or months or days. And then I want you to ask God for refuge. I want you to confess it to Him. Lord, this is the issue I'm dealing with. And I need refuge today. I need refuge today. I need protection today. I need strength today. I need deliverance today. These are the things that are in the city of refuge. And we're coming to Christ now. So I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes for a moment. You can whisper this to God. You can say it in your heart, but you're going to say something like, Lord, today, right now, I need your refuge. I need your strength. I know that you're always ready to help me in trouble. And today, this morning, I need your help. I need your refuge. And then you can lay it out. It's my kids and the struggle they're in. It's the trials that I'm under financially. It's the issues I'm dealing with at work. It's the sin that keeps reoccurring. And I just can't beat it. But today, Lord, I'm asking for your help. I'm coming to the refuge of Jesus Christ. You are our refuge. You are our strong tower. And we come to you today. And you call us, whether it's unknown or whether it's known, you still call us in. Unlike the Old Testament, you take us with or without the foreknowledge of the issue. And we thank you for that. Now I want you to find your family that's close to you. And I want you to take a minute to get a hold of their hands, and I want you to pray with that family. It could be your mom, your dad, your son, your daughters, I don't know, your husband, your wife, but we're going to pray with our families right now. We're just going to pray this morning that they're going to find refuge. We're going to pray this morning that they find peace. We're going to pray this morning that they find a place of protection in the refuge of Jesus Christ.